agreement with his main political opponents that includes an end to martial law on the 25th anniversary of democracy to the country, Mr. Bhutto said the National Assembly will be convened on April 14 for the first time since the December 1970 elections for a three-day sitting. The President said the National Assembly, in which his Pakistani People's Party has majority, adopt a temporary constitution and set up a committee to draft a permanent constitution.
Citizens, assalamu alaikum. Tonight it is my privilege to address you on a subject which is the quintessence of all civilized existence. This is the subject of education. This is indeed a subject which concerns every individual in our country, as parents, students and teachers, as professionals and workers. We all have a deep and direct interest in it. A good deal of man's outlook on education is autobiographical. The role and the responsibility of the state in this field of education is colossal. The state has to provide the structural framework, the philosophy, and the motivation. The state inspires its spirit and content to national needs and international standards. By its very nature, an educational policy cannot be final or static. Constant reflection, experimentation, and reform in the thought and practice of education is an important requirement. In the past, whenever educational reforms were conceived, they were treated as highly sacrosanct and were imposed with so much rigidity as if they were the last writ of human wisdom. The result was not unexpected. The fate of all previous educational reforms was sealed by their unwarranted inflexibility. I have no intention of pursuing such a counterproductive course of action. On the contrary, I would like to assure you that the policy which I am presenting to you tonight will remain under continuous review and evaluation and shall go on developing further and further in the light of experience gained in its implementation. What I am giving you today is the barest minimum which, in our judgment, is long overdue in the sector of education. Matters which can be of a debatable nature, such as the language policy, have been left for determination by the people's representatives in the assemblies. Ever since we gained independence, education has remained a neglected pursuit in the body politics of our country. For a long time, the obsolete idea of producing an educated class from amongst the privileged few to constitute the elite in the country remained the cornerstone of our educational system. This was a heritage of colonialism. It was further nursed and nurtured by the dark forces of exploitation even after independence. Even when the inevitable pressure of demands created by the growth of population and economic development necessitated a broadening of our educational system, the resources allocated to it were extremely meager. Throughout the 60s, a disproportionately high percentage of expenditure on education was incurred on bricks and mortar as compared to that on teachers, equipment, and books. It is for this reason that in several cases, we find ourselves landed with buildings without students, laboratories without equipment, and classrooms without teachers. The cause for this ludicrous misplanning was a total apathy with which the subject of education was treated in the dispensation of power and patronage. In the aftermath of some unsalutary traditions, we have been called upon to reshape the educational policy. We have to clear the jungles. We have to weed out the complexes sown by the past order. We have to pull ourselves out of the slot without losing the spirit of our religion and the finer traditions of our culture. We have to look at the future in the face by building national cohesion and social economy and social harmony. We have got to change education from an elite privilege to an equal expectation. This opportunity belongs to every citizen, regardless of race, religion, or sex, regardless of origin or birth. On the one hand, we have to democratize education and usher in an era of universal literacy as soon as possible. On the other, we have to compete in the race of higher science and technology in a world which is moving very fast towards material perfection. We have to ensure that there is a massive shift from aimless general education to a more meaningful agro-technical education. It is essential that a boy who drops out after class 8 should carry with him enough skill to return to his locale or ancestral vocation as a better farmer or craftsman, that a boy who leaves the school after matric is ready to go to get absorbed in our socio-economic framework as a good middle-class technician or worker. And on this basis, we should cater for all those who leave school to enter social responsibility. While expanding education, we must relate it in its form and content to the nature and scope of our economic development. Education should not be an abstract endeavor. On the contrary, it must be closely related to employment opportunities. More students means more teachers. More teachers means more amenities to attract them to this profession. A multiple of requirements are essential to induct a process of education which may mobilize the entire nation to lead Pakistan to pristine place. The new education policy is designed to meet this challenge. Given the necessary understanding and cooperation, I am confident that this policy will, inshallah, fulfill the promise it holds. Here are the salient features of the new education policy. One, education will be made universal and free up to class 10 throughout the country. However, due to limited resources, this will be achieved in two phases. The first phase will begin from the 1st of October 1972, when education will be made free up to class 8. In the second place, starting from 1st October 1972, education will become free in classes 9 and 10. This will apply to all schools, irrespective of whether they are run by government or private managements. Depending on the response and reciprocity, it is anticipated that education up to class 5 will become universal for boys by 1979 and for girls by 1984. Another 3 years will make education universal up to class 8. Under the existing resources and conditions, we have stretched out to the limit. Whether education should be compulsory, and if so, up to what stage and in what manner, are questions of a serious nature. Compulsion places a direct responsibility on parents to send their children to school on pain of punishment. Simultaneously, it entails an immediate obligation on the part of the government to provide facilities for their schooling. On account of the far-reaching implications in the socio-economic structure as constituted today, these issues need to be debated and decided by the assemblies. 2, privately managed schools will be nationalized in a phased manner within a period of 2 years, commencing from the 1st of October 1972. The scales of salary and service conditions of teachers in all privately managed schools will, however, be brought at par with those of government schools from the same date. 3, privately managed colleges will be nationalized from the 1st of September 1972. 4, compensation will not be paid for privately managed schools and colleges which are nationalized. Any alienation of the property of these institutions or any attempt to close them down after this announcement will be an offense under martial law. No appointments will be made in these institutions without government's approval after this announcement, and the appointments made after 20th December 1971 will be reviewed. 5, government may exempt from nationalization any privately managed school or college which, to its satisfaction, is run on a genuinely benevolent, philanthropic, and non-commercial basis. 6, in addition to privately managed schools and colleges, there is also another special class of exclusive institutions in our country. They are generally called public schools and include such institutions as the Aitchison College, Lahore. Most of them are wholly or substantially financed by government. They offer a superior standard of education but are inaccessible to the poorer section of students, however intelligent. No doubt these institutions have played their part well in the social order which had created them. But now their days are over. Today it is unthinkable to permit an institution where access to knowledge and culture should depend on any consideration other than merit. We have therefore decided to nationalize all public schools falling within this category from a date to be worked out individually with each one of them. In future, these schools will be open to gifted children from all over the country without any reference to their financial status or social background. Students selected on merit alone will be provided entirely free education in such renowned institutions. Each school will admit gifted students from all regions of the country, and thus these institutions, which in the past divided society on the basis of wealth, will now unite the nation on the basis of the mind. The existing number of boards of intermediate and secondary education is too small for the number of candidates for which they have to conduct examinations. In order to improve their working and also to provide more convenience to candidates coming from far-flung areas, 5 new boards will be established at Saidu, Rawalpindi, Gujranwala, Bahalpur, and Khairpur. 8, new universities will be opened at Saidu, Multan and Sakhar, the Agricultural College at Tandojam, the NED Engineering College, Karachi, and the Sindh University Engineering College, Jamshoro, will be raised to university status. A faculty of agriculture will be added to the NED Engineering College on its conversion into an engineering university. The provincial government of the Northwest Frontier Province may, if it deems necessary, raise the status of the Peshawar University Engineering College to that of an engineering university. Jamia Islamia, Bahawalpur, will be broadened by the addition of new faculties of science and arts and converted into a university. A constituent medical college will be added to the University of Balochistan, and faculties of science and rural home economics will be added to the Agricultural University at Lalpur. The number of the universities would thus be doubled by 1980. Undergraduate faculties will be added to the University of Islamabad. A collaborative program will be developed between the PINSTEC and the University of Islamabad so as to fully utilize the physical facilities of PINSTEC for students of Islamabad University. It will also provide an opportunity to the scientists working at the PINSTEC to give some time for teaching and guidance of postgraduate students. 9. The ill-famed university ordinance, which has caused so much avoidable unrest amongst the students and teachers, will be replaced by an enlightened and progressive legislation which will democratize the working of the universities and ensure full participation of the representatives of teachers, students, parents in their affairs. A university's grants commission will be established to coordinate the programs of the existing as well as new universities so as to avoid unnecessary duplication and waste. The commission will also determine the disciplines for which each university will develop centers of specialization and excellence. Such centers will include disciplines like social science, salinity, waterlogging, irrigation and drainage, physical chemistry, analytical chemistry, theoretical physics, pure and applied mathematics, fisheries and marine biology, tropical agriculture and construction materials, chemical engineering, petrochemicals, synthetics, oil, gas development, and other such disciplines. 11. Education does not end with the passing of a school or university examination. Facilities will be created for this lifelong process through a network of training, retraining, and adult literacy centers all over the country. These centers will be established in schools, factories, farms, union councils, and other community places and centers. In view of the fact that there are over 40 million illiterate adults in the country, the number of such centers to be established up to 1980 will be about 10,000. The gigantic magnitude of the problem of adult literacy and continuing lifelong education process will in fact necessitate the launching of an equally gigantic public motivation campaign. A People's Open University will also be established to supplement these efforts by providing educational facilities through correspondence courses, tutorials, television, films, radio broadcasts, and other media of mass communication. 12. A National Foundation for Book Production will be established to promote the writing, translating, printing, and publishing of textbooks and other reading materials for students and the general public. 13. 50,000 people's public libraries will be established in villages and city wards. 14. A national sports trust will be created for the promotion of sports. 15. a national service corps will be established in which all youth between the age of 17 to 23 will be encouraged to serve for a total period of 1 year after passing the intermediate examination. This will also constitute the base for the formation of an adult literacy corps, and suitable incentives will be provided to encourage participation in a national service corps for these purposes. 16. In addition, a number of other measures are also being taken to promote the welfare of the student community. They include a fourfold increase in the allocation for scholarships, the establishment of banking facilities for the grant of interest-free loans to deserving students, establishment of book banks, substantial enhancement of transport facilities at low cost, and arrangements for special education for the handicapped. Similarly, a number of steps are being taken to improve the status and amenities of teachers. One of the most exploited class of teachers in our society has been those serving in privately managed schools and colleges. As I have stated, they will soon get out of their misery and will be able to enjoy the same status in terms of salaries and service conditions as those of their counterparts in government institutions. One of the genuine and long-standing complaints of the teaching community has been the non-availability of residential accommodation to them on reasonable rent. We are planning to undertake the construction of rent-free houses for teachers on quite a large scale in the future. This should go a long way in mitigating their present sufferings. These are a few of the highlights of the comprehensive educational plan we are launching. It will be explained to you in greater detail by the Minister for Education tomorrow. An operation of this colossal magnitude can hardly be conducted through normal administrative machinery. In order to help the central and provincial governments in the implementation and evaluation of their educational policies, we have decided to constitute broad-based education councils at the national, provincial, district, and institution levels. They will comprise of a cross-section of people representing various walks of life, including students, teachers, and parents. Let us hope that they will gradually develop into a positive brain trust in our nation-building endeavors. Of course, a new educational program of this dimension cannot be executed without additional finance. In the very first year of this program, the expenditure on education will almost be doubled. In future years, overall increase will be about 15% per annum. Besides normal budgetary provision, this enormous expenditure will be met by a scheme under which payment may be made in kind wherever feasible. I am sure nobody would grudge education receiving its long overdue share of natural resources at this critical stage of our economic and social development. We on our part will make every possible effort to mobilize the resources required. On the part of students, teachers, and parents, I ask for no return except an assurance that the large investment which a nation as poor as ours is making in their future must be treated as a debt of honor to the nation. Let tomorrow be enabled to enjoy the fruits of the labor, suffering, and sacrifices of today. From the students, the nation expects discipline and hard work. From the teachers, the nation expects devotion and dedication to their honored profession. From the parents, the nation expects their cooperation and full share of responsibility to join hands with the government and the people to make our educational plans a common endeavor and a common success. Education is by no means confined to the four walls of schools and colleges and universities alone. A large and indeed effective part of it begins and ends at the home. It is here, at home, that the parents can play a decisive part in the advancement of the cause of education. We are taking important steps to ensure that religious education, which is compulsory up to class 10, does not merely remain an isolated subject in our schools. We want to go much further and weave the values and the spirit of our faith into the entire warp and wool of our educational fabric. It is in this respect that the parents and the home environment can play an effective part. We have the vision of an educated Pakistan. We are inspired by the thought of an enlightened manhood in the defense of the motherland. Education holds the key to the door of progress. Education will make the desert bloom. Let us all join hands in the battle for knowledge, in the quest for success of Pakistan.
I know, I left them, I think. It was too late to put them on, then I found it difficult to read.
One of the, it was faculty architecture to the NED college, and it has gone as faculty of agriculture.
Oh, you'll explain it tomorrow.
All right.
And you'll, in the print also it will come there.
In the print, sir, it has come as architecture.
And it is